2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive of the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. I want you to skip down to the 14th verse. For the love of Christ constraineth me, because we thus judge that if one died for us, or for all, then all are dead. That he died for all, that they which live should not be henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The Apostle Paul had a lot of great things to write unto the church at Corinth, because I think he had a lot of experience that dealt with the Corinthians. He knew them. He knew their lives. He knew all about them. And when he wrote the second letter to them, he was reminding that church, because as every church, we need to be reminded. We will stand before God one day. We will stand before God and we will give an account of the things that we've done. You know, all those things. Things that are under the blood have been taken care of. All right? So you don't have to worry about that. You're not going to stand before him to say, well, my salvation's in jeopardy. No, that's not the point. The point is to say, how did I live my life? Or am I truly this? Therefore, if any man, anybody be in Christ, he is a, or she is a new creation. Now, I think we talk about that a lot, but what kind of creation are you? He didn't just stop there with that. He says, old things, meaning the former life, meaning the former things, meaning the things that we have hung on to, things that we were trained to do, things that we lived, old things that represent the old life before Jesus Christ came to us, old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Have they become new? That's the question. Has all these things become new in our lives? Have things really truly changed? You know, that's something that's very difficult today. You know, I told you I spent 3 days in a pastor's conference, and I heard some great speakers. I heard some tremendous people share. I heard a general superintendent who happens to be, that's a big dog in the Nazarene church, if you want to know. That's a big, big dog. And spoke with such compassion for his pastors. Spoke with addressing the very issues that we heard about this morning, about how it has been a tough year in the church, how things that we have gone through in the church. And I just met with Tim Randolph from the WRBA that came out and visited with me here just the other day, just to tell me about, look, this church is just like all the churches. We are suffering in a lot of ways. Numbers are down, people are down, things to that, but the spirit is not down. Amen. The desire to live and to go on is not down. We are new creations as long as old things are passed away. So I have to say, do you have an old view of what God is doing? Or do you have the same view that God wants us to have, that he is new and fresh and alive every single day? And what he has planned for us is incredible. But he started out with that same little verse there that said, we will stand before him to give an account of how we view what he is doing. How much of Jesus is within us? How much do we live out in a very difficult time as we see it? As we see this last couple years, I mean, this year and a half, in a lot of ways it's been tough. But when I watched that, I almost came to tears this morning watching that video about what went on in Mexico. You know, I didn't see any power equipment that tilled the land. I didn't see anything. And so I know, how did that happen? By hand. I knew that they work very hard for everything they have. What little scraps of things that they do have. I saw things there that we would take, we would go, oh my goodness, I couldn't make it that way. I couldn't live like that. They do. Did they act like they were suffering? No. They acted like they had the greatest blessings that came their way. And to many, this is a difficult task. But I was reminded of what Paul would write in another letter. He would write in the letter of Philippians. And that last part of the fourth chapter, the second to the last verse, he makes the statement, all the saints salute you. You know, that's a great blessing right there. All the saints here in Philippi, I want you to know that all of the ones, where am I writing this from? I'm writing this from jail. I'm writing this from a Roman prison. All the saints right here in this cluster of Rome, in the prison that I'm writing to you from, they all salute you. Chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. It makes you stop. How difficult is it to live a Christian life in an unchristian world? How do we see that? I look around and I see plenty of empty chairs. I see people and know of people that I have in contact with that have yet to find their way back to the church, have yet to find their way back into the fellowship, simply because it's said the environment that we live in today has changed so much, and that unless it changes, I don't know if I can make it back. Well, how do you make the environment change? How do you get that accomplished? How can you and I live a Christian life in a world that we have been given? I'm not happy with the way our government goes today. Not happy at all. I don't like the way, I don't like the policies. I don't like any of it. But is that going to change my way I believe in Jesus Christ?
No.
Has old things passed away? Have all things become new? If they become new, why aren't we recognizing what is new? We're not recognizing that God every single day has something else much better than he had in the past. What did we look at? Just remember the way it was, Brother Jim, before COVID? No, I want to see what it's going to be after COVID. I'm waiting to see what God's going to do with our church after this some little piddly thing takes place. Do I like the fact that people get sick? Do I like the people? No, I don't want anybody to die. I don't want anything. But we do not stand in torment. We're not being persecuted. We're not receiving any of these kind of things. And yet, as I read the scripture, people that I know were being that, in Nero's, as Caesar, in Roman world right there, were being burnt alive because they were Christians. Now, what are we suffering today? Well, I can't be a Christian. Well, I was one. Then it got tough. Really? How tough has it been? I mean, has somebody shipped you off to Siberia? Did somebody stick you into the mountains in Haiti or in Mexico and ask you to live after being an American? Has any of these things happened? No. They haven't happened. We've lost people. We hurt because of that loss. And it's a very real hurt. But historically, the church has suffered so much more than we are. Historically, Paul, writing from a Roman jail to his friends at Philippi, he's telling them right there, all the saints, every one of them, that means it wasn't just him, it was everybody around him were saying, and chiefly those of Caesar's household, they greet you. They're excited about that you're out there persevering for the cause of Christ. We are under persecution right now. They didn't want to talk about that. They wanted to talk about what was God doing in their life. You know, it'd be a strange place to be a Christian in Caesar's household. It'd be a strange place to be a Christian if you're being subjected to terrible things every day. Can you imagine being a Christian in prison, in gang-related places all the time? If you wear the Christian symbol, you could be beat up, you could be knifed, you could be done any of those kind of things. Yet we continually complain about how tough we have it. Oh, I live in a vulgar world. I ran a construction company for 40-plus years. I think I know what a little bit of vulgar world is. Hang out with construction people for a while. I live in a world that, look at all the greed and the cruelty, and look where the church is going. It's obvious where the church is going. We're not the strength that we had in the church as they did in the day of Martin Luther. The strength of the church is not as solid as it was 50 years ago. But there's strength within the body of true believers. True believers. The believers that can say old things are truly passed away. They're gone. They're out of my life. Oh, does Satan bring them up all the time? Yeah, he brings them up all the time. But the attitude of professing Christians today need to stand on the very fact that we are overcomers in Jesus Christ. Amen. This is what he has done. In spite of everything that we're facing today, we are overcomers. We're not beat down. We're not pushed down. Man, I'm not in Nero's place. I've never been to that joint. Richard, you ever been over to that joint? I don't know if you'd ever been to Nero's place. Ronnie might have been. I just don't know about that. But put the Colosseum in your background. Could you just simply imagine what's going to be? I wonder if the Gaithers ever played the Colosseum. You know, or what's that Florida-Georgia line? I was waiting for someone to respond to that one. I wanted to go, who are y'all listening to? Maybe it was the Cowboys playing the Lions that day. Maybe that's what it was. We've allowed all the justifiable excuses that are sickening in God's ears of why we cannot live a godly life. My friends, there's no excuse for us. I want to rectify a lot of things in the world that makes it very difficult for people to live. I want to try to make things a lot better. I want to see those things take place and try to make people's lives more Christ-centered and how they can see what God can do for them. But at the same time, for me, there's no excuse for me not living the Christian life. There's absolutely no excuse why I should ever feel that way. There's no excuse, and I give you no excuse. And God gives you no excuse. We have light, walk in the light. We have strength, feel the strength of the Spirit. If the Spirit is real, if all things have passed away, all things have, everything has become new, our Christian faith is real, the character of His Christ is alive in us, then why are we worried about the things that are taking place in our world right now? Why are we letting that one deter us by any things? It's the history of the church. The more the pressure came in that day, the more they blossomed. The more they pushed down on them, they didn't give up. They didn't go hide. They grew. You know, people talk about the end of the Roman Empire. And we talk about how terrible the debauchery and all that. You know what killed the Roman Empire, really? The cause of Christ. That's what did it. The church grew. Christians became strong. They lived a life, a moral life. They changed the climate, the circumstances that were there, to the point that Rome fell because of the glory of the present living Jesus Christ. That's really what took place. So we got to stop blaming our spiritual failures in life. All we need to do is stand up and say, we walk in the victory. We sing victory in Jesus all the time. Why can't we live victory in Jesus? We can have spiritual victory in spite of hostile circumstances. The world doesn't love you. Who told me that? Jesus. He said, they don't like me, and they certainly aren't going to like you. I thought he was talking about my wonderful personality when he said that. Now, I can understand that. But more and more each day, there's less wonderful things said about the Christian ideal. And the sad fact is, it's not being said by the church. You see, to be a Christian means winning in spite of my circumstances. That's what it means. Do we have hard times? Yeah, we got hard times. Well, if you want to buy into what the sociologist says about it, that our environment is what shapes us. Is your environment shaping you today? If it is, you've not read what I just quoted to you out of 2 Corinthians. If our environment's making us go in a certain direction in a negative way, then we're not following after what Jesus said and what he gave to Paul to give to us. Because he's made very, very clear, I have been there, I've walked the path before you, I have placed myself in you, I am in Christ, and he is the one that strengthens me. We are victors. We're not victims. We can stand strong in spite of any circumstance that comes our way. But unfortunately for many, they bought into it. They bought into the lie that behavior is based upon our environment, and therefore this is what happens, and this is why we have the trouble in the big cities and the little cities. This is why. Have you ever stopped to ask yourself about the drug deal? We're all worried about fentanyl coming into our world from the southern border. I'm worried about it. I don't like the fact that we've opened the southern border and that anybody and everybody can just come on through. Don't like that at all. I think that's a terrible thing. I think it's terrible for Texas. I think it's terrible for all the states along the border. I think it's terrible for America. We got drugs flowing, fentanyl, we got heroin, we got anything you want to name. It's all flowing up out of the cartels and all this. But you ever stop to ask yourself, why is the drugs coming here? Because people are using them. Yeah, we're so worried about all this coming in. How about all those people that are using all those drugs? Where do we, church? Are we a light in a very terrible world? We should be. Man, this is realistic. It's easy to be pessimistic about things. It's easy to look at the disaster that's taking place. But one day I will stand before the Lord and I will give an account of everything that was done in the flesh. I will talk about what I've said with my mouth, what I've done with my actions, how I've looked at things, how I've acted upon things. Did I ever do anything good for somebody, or did I point that to me and not to Jesus? Which one of those things falls in line with this today? All I can get through is that the saints of Caesar's household salute you. Saints. We're not talking about just anybody. We're talking about people that lived a godly life in a place that was definitely ungodly. A whole lot worse than right here. This isn't the slums of New York. We don't live in a bullet-ridden Chicago. We're not in any one of those places, but we are right here in Robinson, Texas. And what are we doing to make a difference in our world? Have we bought into the environment and the circumstances, or are we truly wanting to be new creations in Jesus Christ? I love good people. I love good words. I'm glad you all had your time. Ladies, you had an opportunity to get together, fellowship, and strengthen the bond, and that is vitally important. I'm glad that, Cody, you guys got to go to that conference. I think it's great. I was all for it, and I'll be all for it as long as we can afford it. We're going to do it. If we can't afford it, we'll go borrow the money and do it anyway. We're going to be a Christian in spite of everything. You know, sometimes I say that and have to think about it. In spite of what? Really, were those obstacles so great? Well, you weren't born in poverty. You weren't raised in a bad situation. You didn't have this. I lived in a slum when I was born, and that's all I ever had. My grandparents were sharecroppers. All the life was terrible, all these things. All I can hear myself say is that old things, my old life has passed away. I'm not that person anymore. God has given me something new. God has placed within me himself. What do I have to be sorry about? What do I have to look down upon? Oh, well, you're not economically suffocated. They're right, I'm not. You haven't had to rise out of an abysmal circumstance. I thought they called that life. I think every one of us have come from certain places. I think from just what I listened to, some of the things that were shared at your conference, yes, I have insights, people. You might not know that, ladies, but I do. And it's not Margaret, because she couldn't get it straight anyway. But and moving on, okay. Some would say to me, oh, we got to change everything around us if you expect us to be Christian. Well, how do things get changed unless, as a Christian, I make that change? The world's not going to change. It's getting worse. We are pressing to the end. But how soon is that? I don't know. But it's what I've been reading in the book of the Revelation. I'm seeing it very much looks like we're coming to it. We're coming to the end of things. There is no excuse for you. I give you no excuse today. I don't get an excuse for not living for Jesus. You have no excuse not to live for Jesus. Not one person in here can tell me, well, you don't know. You're probably right, I don't know. And honestly, just looking around, if you've got an excuse that you can't live for Jesus Christ, I wish you'd share that with me. I really do. I want to. We can do anything else in this world, but the only important thing is how we live our lives for Christ. You can have it all. I hope you hit the lotto and then you tithe. I want to get that in there. Okay. I hope you never quit trying to change our atmosphere. I hope you never quit trying to change our circumstances. But just for yourself, there's no excuse. There is no excuse. There's no defense. There's nothing that you'll ever... There will never be a person that comes out of this congregation that will come to me later, which I have met on our streets, that do not attend here any longer, don't attend anywhere, given up on the gospel. You just don't know how I said, I know how hard life is, but you're not in that situation, and I give you no excuse to quit. God has done so many things and made our lives so worth living. But when it comes personally, if there's an issue, it came from the inside. Yeah, it didn't come from the outside. If you're quitting God, it came from right in here. It didn't come from your outward circumstances. It didn't come from your outward environment. It became because you took your eyes off of Jesus and you focused on the issues around you. All of us have problems. All of us have kids. I got wonderful kids. I want to say that before Jamie got all set with me. All of us have situations. We all have things we wish weren't the way they are. But I can say this, for me, for you, there's no excuse. We're going to love Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave everything for us. So in spite of my circumstances, in spite of all those things, I want to live for Christ. It's time you minimize the outside and maximize the inside. It's time to live our lives. Quit whining about how tough it is right now, what you've been through, how sorry it is. I'm sorry for you. I really am. But I know this, my inward man, if my outward body is falling apart like it is, I know my inward man can rise up every single day and be stronger. Amen. And it's going to be that. Yeah. It's just time that we focus on what Christ is doing for us today. You say, why did you come up with this stuff? I came up with it because I watched people this week. I listened to people tell me about how hard life was. and they had a hard life. And some of those people, you know, I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the very fact that no matter how tough it is, you weren't in Caesar's household. Because if you'd have been, or if I'd have been in Caesar's household, we'd have probably gone native. We'd have been right in there with them. You know, could we stood up against that? Hey, you're signed up for to be a burning bush next week. Won't that be fun? We're going to douse you in oil, tie you to a pole, set you on fire. You're going to be, talk about a glowing personality. You're going to have it. That was their life. But what did they say? If that's what God calls me to do, I'm going to do it. It may be philosophical, maybe hypothetical, maybe all of those things. All I can say is what I know to be real today. We have no excuse to live for Christ. We have no excuse. We can live for him. God has given us an ecclesia, a church. He's given each one of us the person sitting beside you. He's given us a fellowship and their strength in the saints. That's why it wasn't one person. It was plural. It was a group. It was a strong fellowship, because no one person makes up a conscience. It's a group. And no matter if all Robinson goes to hell in a handbasket, we don't have to. We don't. We can stand because what God has done in every one of our hearts. Caesar's household, you were either a Christian or you were a heathen. There wasn't anything in between. And my friends, there's nothing in between right now. We're either all in, new creations, or we're not in at all. I don't care what denomination you're talking about. If you're not in it, you're not. You're nothing. Look what the church has done for you. Look what this church has done through the years. But look what the church will be doing. That's you. What can you be doing to make a difference for us? What can you be doing for all of us to make a difference and have our church make a difference? It starts right here. It starts in what God has done. It starts in the ecclesia ideas, our ideals. All of these things are right there. This is what Paul was speaking to. And he knew that he'd be speaking and it resonate for thousands of years to the very day that we have. The very day that Rome was destroyed, but the Christian wasn't destroyed. That group, that small group, became big. Yes, Rome burned, everything was gone, but not the Christians. They were transformed into what God was going to do. And it wouldn't be long, 400 years, along would come another ruler of the Roman Empire. There would one to pop up, his name is Constantine, and he would say, I got to be a Christian. Do you realize, I don't know if anybody even knew this, but back in the day that Nero ruled, one of his queens, she was a Christian. Can you imagine? The worst person that you could ever hit, he would rival Hitler for the way he treated people and the way he lived his life. But these people lived a godly life. My friends, we don't need to wait for a Caesar's household to be built. We need to live for Jesus Christ ourselves. And we will become the saints. The saints of a household, the saints of a strength, of a church right here that will not fade. They asked me, and I'll close with this. I had a church survey, and they asked me to give them, to rate our church. I said, you talking about good-looking people, or what are you talking about? They were asking about our spiritual strength. How firm are we now or not? Are we going down? In 5 years we'll be gone? That was one of them. Are you holding steady? Are you growing exponentially? I couldn't answer that one to the positive, but I could say this: we're stable. And the depth of the Spirit is growing. And my friends, to me, whether the numbers grow into back to something great that we fill every chair, which I hope we do, I can say this: you and I can grow stronger every moment of every day. In spite of all the things, in spite of everything, we can be Christians and the kind that would be pleasing. I want to stand one day before God, and I look forward to that day. I want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I'm not perfect, as well as you know, but I am this. I believe that I will never change my convictions and what God can do through you in this church for the kingdom of God. May all the saints of Cornerstone, may we salute those that are serving Jesus all over the world. They don't have to be Baptist. Those Nazarenes were pretty nice, I thought. Well, a little bit nice. I had Marshall with me, so it was suspect. But there are people serving Jesus all over Robinson, Texas right now. And they're not necessarily of our denomination, but they're on something greater. They're the household of God. I will be a Christian in spite of everything, for his glory. Let's pray.